Speaking of excitement, I think we should shut up and play an interview that we had during the week. What do you say, Matt and Anthony?
Let's do it.
Now, who is it? Yeah. Who is it? Mm. Have you heard of Nikki Webster?
No.
All right. Well, I know that the collective excitement right now in the city of Hobart and around the world is building because, as I said, during the week I managed to have a chat with Australian pop superstar Nikki Webster, and this is the first part of that interview I had during the week.
We are very excited to have our next guest here on The Brink. She rose international stardom as a star of the Sydney 2000 opening and closing ceremonies and has since gone on to be one of the most recognisable faces and voices in Australia. In 2001, she released one of the highest selling singles of the year with Strawberry Kisses and has since gone on to release three hugely successful albums, and in between has gone on to star in everything from The Wizard of Oz to Dancing with the Stars. So please welcome to The Brink for the first time, Nikki Webster. Nikki, it is fantastic to finally have you here on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
It's all right. I really do want to say, though, in the 5 years that I've been doing this show, I don't think I have been more excited to finally land a guest. We've been trying to chase you up since the start.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, don't I feel important now?
You should. And the listener...
I'm glad you finally got me.
Well, the listener reaction has just been superb, too. So I know everybody listening to this right now is excited to have you finally on the show, Nikki. Now, of course, many people first got to know you as the face of the Sydney Olympic opening and closing ceremonies, as I just mentioned in the introduction, but you have been around a lot longer than that, appearing in everything from Home and Away. Do you remember anything from your role on Home and Away?
I do, actually. It was just a guest spot, and I believe my brother was in it also, and we were basically just in a house and, you know, we were playing brothers and sisters and someone came to the door. I don't actually remember what characters it was, but I remember the filming day. It was quite fun, quite a lot of fun, and obviously being on screen with your brother, and playing a brother and sister, you get to, you know, have a fight and it's all good fun.
No acting, it's just, you know, just
improvising. No acting.
not at all. Now, something that many of our listeners may not actually be aware is that you have performed with the King of Pop, Michael Jackson. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, that was when he was in Sydney for his history tour, and a whole group of us got to meet him, and then he asked us to sing on stage with him, and we sang Heal the World. And we were walking around in a big circle and he picked me out of the circle to sing out the front with him. So, you know, just incredible moment, you know, singing, standing next to Michael Jackson, singing to a packed audience. It was absolutely insane and you know, something I'm going to hold on to the rest of my life. And unfortunately, he's not around anymore, but... I've definitely got a very fond memory of it.
Were you a massive Michael fan, or was it just
absolutely
something you did?
Absolutely massive.
Yeah.
Massive Michael fan. Still am. You know, he's a genius at what he does, and getting to meet him and spend just a little bit of time just getting to know him was incredible. And I guess my one regret is probably not keeping in contact with him after I did the Olympics, because I'm sure it was probably something he would have liked to have known about.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
Yeah, that just, I mean, I teach all my kids at my dance studio Michael songs, and we love it. We have a dance, we have a sing, and it's just infectious music, which is brilliant.
Absolutely, and of course, obviously, tragic circumstances last year that happened, but unfortunately, I suppose his music will live on, and if you're teaching that to the students there, I mean, I suppose that works out very well. And with that, now that you do have this studio, your dance studio, is that something that's sort of bringing back the way you started when you were young? You're trying to get this now to other people coming along to this studio and being able to start what you did?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess, you know, I've always grown up in dance studios, but it's a more relaxed, in terms of, we're very nurturing, my brother and myself are business partners, and I guess I've been through a lot of ups and downs publicly with the media, and if I can nurture these young up-and-coming stars, performers, and I guess steer them away from what I've been through, or help them through the tough times, then, you know, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm really passionate about. And now having an agency also attached to the dance studio, I'm able to see kids take the steps that I took. So it's very exciting and I love it, and it's such a rewarding thing to do.
The show at The Brink, that whenever the media do talk about you or they're interviewing you or anything along those lines, they always seem to refer to this public perception of you, and it always turns out in a negative way. How much does this annoy you, Nikki? I mean, is there anything you would love to say or do to these media type, and do you just want something nice and positive out there for you for once?
That is true. I don't think there's enough time for me to tell you what I'd like to do to them. No, look, I don't read the good, I don't read the bad. I'm kind of at that point where, you know, it's not worth kind of reading into what they're saying. I always find it weird that they make it a public perception that's a negative thing when I'm out on the streets every day being myself, and it's actually the media's perception. It's not the public. The public are quite behind me. So I guess I'm blessed in that sense. But, you know, it was tough going through puberty and going through, you know, the tall poppy syndrome. But I'm still going through it with the media. I don't think it's ever going to stop. So I've just got to get on with it.
And do you want to try and shake off? Obviously, the image is always you at this young girl from the opening ceremony of the Olympics. I've even mentioned it in my opening ceremony, so I'm being a hypocrite by saying this. But you obviously, you've done so much more than just, you know, being up on a wire at the opening ceremony of the Olympic Games.
I guess, you know, that was such a proud moment for our country and as a whole. And, you know, I'm happy to be put in, you know, side by side with that is absolutely amazing. So it's something that is always going to be with me, and I'm happy for it to be mentioned all the time, absolutely.
I suppose, though, if you're happy for it to be mentioned, I mean, there are some people we've had on the show where they've got that one moment, and you sort of say to people,
yes.
Oh, yeah, we've got Jane Saville on the show. Who's that? Oh, she's the one who got disqualified just before she walked into the stadium. They know
yeah.
that moment. So, with
no,
Nikki
I'd
Webster,
hate
it's a bit
that.
Different. Yeah, true. They know, if you say
that
who Nikki Webster known. Is, they don't need to be known that you're the one from the opening ceremony. They know who you are, Nikki. It's okay, it's okay.
Oh, I hope so.
Now, when you've walked out into that stadium, you've got a couple of billion people around the world watching you at that moment. How are the nerves going? Are you absolutely crapping your dacks?
Well, not really. I think the main thing was the only time I got nervous was right at the beginning where I had to walk out and I had to hit centre mark right in the middle of the stadium. And, you know, there was no markings on the floor. So basically it was done by feel and rehearsals of where I'd found centre. Because if I didn't hit the centre spot, I couldn't have flown because the cables couldn't come down. That was the only thing I was nervous about. Once I hit centre, I was like, this is easy, this is great. And I didn't even think about, you know, people watching. I think that was a great thing that David Atkins and Rick Birch did with me. They didn't really put the pressure on that so many people would be watching. They just said, you know, go out, make us proud, you know, there's everybody in the stadium. They forgot to tell me that it was being filmed for the world. But
yeah, just that small little fact.
Yeah, they forgot, but probably in a good way.
Yeah, I reckon. I'm sure you wouldn't want to walk out there and they've gone, okay, Nikki, hit centre spot and just forget about the 3 billion people watching you.
Yeah, and if you don't hit centre spot, you're dead.
Yeah. I suppose that was before YouTube, though, but I mean, still, it would have been something that they would have put on there now, maybe.
Yeah, definitely.
You watch ceremonies now every 4 years, and you sort of think like, what are they doing? Me flying up above the, you know, Stadium Australia was so much better than a little boy in Greece on a boat.
I do watch them, and I think, you know, the thing I find amazing is how much technology has come on since the 2000 Olympics. You know, we could only fly up, down and across. Now they can fly in zigzags. They can fly any way they want. So there's obviously a lot more creative license and ways through technology that, you know, enhance the opening ceremony. But I think overall our storyline, our what we portrayed, the, you know, everything put together was just exceptional. And all the directors that were a part of the opening ceremony were absolutely incredible. And, you know, I think we're the best, and I think we're always going to be the best.
And I think you
but
started,
I'm not biased.
No, not at all. You can be biased. Well, you know, Sam Arant said we're the greatest Olympics ever, and no one's ever
he
said
did,
anything
he
else.
He did, absolutely, and he told me that as well, too. So
yeah, well, there you go.
I'm going to take that and run.
You've got that from the man himself, so you can use that personally.
Absolutely.
And I think there's been a bit of a trend since Sydney 2000. Every opening ceremony, whether it be winter or summer, I swear they've been using, like, a young child telling a story.
Yeah.
And, you know, Nikki, you've started this.
Oh. I feel flattered. It was kind of David Atkins and Rick Birch, but hey, I'll take that.
Yeah,
they want to recreate it, I'd say go for it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, no one remembers them, you know? I mean, when you say Strawberry Kisses, people don't care who wrote it, Nikki. You sang it.
True.
Come on.
Thanks.
Now, of course, with Strawberry Kisses, Australia's gone Nikki Webster crazy after the Summer Olympics in 2000. What was this period like? I mean, how could you walk out of your house? What were the fan reaction like to that?
It was quite intense, and it was quite weird for me being 13, thinking, okay, I've done the opening ceremony. I'm just going to go back to school. And, you know, when we resumed at school, and I remember pulling up, and I had 60 Minutes following me at that point, and obviously it was some kind of exclusive thing, and there was 7, 9, 10, and every other news channel under the sun parked outside my school, and I had to duck down in the car, and I'm going, what is this? This is just crazy. It was fun. It was scary. It was hard at the same time, you know, eating in a food court like I normally would, and people coming up with my mouth, you know, I'm shoving food into my mouth and all that kind of stuff. But I guess the great thing about it was everybody's spirit and how positive they were about being proud to be an Australian.
Yeah.
And that was the main thing that was really, really touching.
You should have rang up Michael Jackson and maybe got out some advice. You know, how do I deal with this, yeah. Michael? What do I do?
Should have closed down the shopping centre, so I could have gone shopping by myself.
Walk with like a face mask on with your hand waving, you know, and some kids with some face, you know, on their faces. Maybe not that far. Now, of course, in the years that followed, you did release a few more albums that I have mentioned, of course, in the introduction. But I suppose a lot of people then remember you from 2005 when Dancing with the Stars happened. Now, how was this experience for you with a lot of stuff that happened during that filming there?
It was great. Dancing with the Stars is such a whirlwind. It's you know, you're thrown into dancing with this person that you've never met before, and you train, you know, 7-8 hours a day, and then you go and you dance and you're totally out of your comfort zone. Yes, I'd had dancing training, but nothing to do with Latin dancing or anything like that. And I'd always sung and danced. I'd never just danced. And it was completely freaky. It was scary. And I remember the first episode, all of us standing backstage going, why did we sign up to do this? What are we doing to ourselves, you know? Why are we putting ourselves out of our comfort zones? But it was great. I made some wonderful friends, and it was a wonderful time.
I think you've got some dogs in the background, some fans there.
That's my little dog, Sunshine. She wants the star. She wants the limelight, I think.
Oh, we can
just
ask
saying
her some
hello
questions.
To everybody.
Hi, Sunshine. I'm sure Hobart is loving you right now. Now, you did, though, in Dancing with the Stars, you did knock off a couple of Olympic gold medalists in Stephen Bradbury and Shane Gould, though. So, I mean, you know, you've got this Olympic reputation, and you've beaten some Olympic gold medalists, Nikki, so you can always put that in your resume,
I've never thought about it that way.
Well, we had Stephen Bradbury on the show, and we mentioned that to him. You know, you got beaten by Nikki Webster, and he was like, oh, well, what are you to do? How the media perceive you as saying that, you know, you're always that young girl from the Olympics. But, of course, in the last 5 years, you've attempted to bring out this more mature image with some photo shoots for the men's magazines and, of course, Devilicious being released last year. And is this hard for you, given that you're putting so much effort into this and that Australia don't seem to want to accept a grown-up Nikki?
Well, I don't think I'm putting so much effort into it. I just think it's a natural progression, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they'd do the same thing if I was still dressed up in, you know, a pink plastic outfit, you know, like I wore in Strawberry Kisses. I think they'd be saying, she needs to grow up. So
yeah.
I guess I can't win. So no. I'm just going to do what feels comfortable with me and, you know, not worry about the media. It's more about getting my music across and performing. That's what I do. And I have a right, just as everybody else has a right, to make a career out of things and to give it a go. And I guess I'm lucky enough to have some doors open, but I'm going to keep dashing down a few more.
I suppose the media never seem to make up their mind, do they? I mean, with Michael Jackson, he never seemed to grow up. They bagged him out. Britney Spears grew up too quickly, and they bagged her out too. You can't win, can you, Nikki?
You can't. You can't win. So that's why you've got to kind of take it with a pinch of salt and just make sure you're not getting pushed around personally and you're happy with what you're doing.
Exactly. Screw the media.
Yeah.
You don't need them, you know. Who needs us? This interview, who needs it? God, jeez. Now, I'm sure you're well aware, Nikki, we're trying to campaign to get the Olympics here in 2020 in Hobart. And we have massive plans for it, of course. But we do think that no Olympic Games in Australia would be complete without Nikki Webster being the star attraction of both opening and closing ceremonies. Can we book you in right now to be the star attraction?
Absolutely.
For
I would love to do that, and I feel honoured that you say that, so thank you.
We will have you walking out centre spot, raising you up, and you were talking about zigzagging and all this sort of stuff. You won't even have string. You'll be flying on your own by 2020.
Woohoo! Mind you, how old will I be in 2010?
Well, what's that? You're going to be, what, 10 years times, so 32?
32.
Oh, you'll still be young, Nikki. Come on.
That's a little scary.
Yeah. Don't think about the age factor. You know, you've got...
True.
You've got long time to get ready for it. But I know you've got Olympic experience, Nikki. So, I mean, can you suggest anything else that we can make our games even better than Sydney?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think it's, you know, the more people you get involved, the better. I think that's the great thing about the Olympics is the community spirit and everybody... the volunteers and everything like that. And I don't know, I think it could be interesting. I mean, 20, 2020 is so far away, but I don't know. I guess I'll leave that up to the creative directors. But I'm happy to be a part of it.
Well, you can be a creative director. As I said, you've got the experience. So, you know, bugger Rick Birch. We've got Nikki Webster on board. Come on.
Oh, I think you need someone like Rick or David.
we'll get you to pass on their phone numbers and, you know, we'll get some inside advice. But we can get your full support then for the Olympics, Nikki, in Hobart for 2020. Could you?
It sounds fantastic.
Yeah, what about next interview? You know, you're on A Current Affair next time. You're sort of mentioning it. You could just be like, you know, hey, Tracy Grimshaw, bugger me, Nikki Webster, what about the 2020 Olympics? You know, come on. Starring Nikki Webster.
There you go. Absolutely.
Yes. Look, I tell you one thing, we're excited to have that, definitely. Now, Nikki, we're nearly going to be at the end of this interview, but just before we get to a set of questions we like to ask all our guests, I just wanted to mention, though, you are 22, as we mentioned a few minutes ago. You've achieved more than most people do in their entire lives. What do you hope to achieve in the future? And speaking of 10 years' time in 2020, where would you like to see yourself?
I guess this, you know, just moving along and achieving some of the same goals I've done, you know, with music and taking it overseas. I'd love to take my music overseas and see how it goes. You know, my dance studio, my talent agency to keep on growing, and hopefully create some incredible performers that take on Australia and the world as well. So, yeah, just doing what I love doing and always being happy, and hopefully I have a family by that point. And maybe some little Nickies running around.
Little Nickies. We could have the instead of the Jackson 5, we could have the Webster 5.
Oh, no. Oh my gosh.
That would be exciting. You keep your brother involved and, you know, hubby and the kids.
I've got to find a hubby first.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Look, put it right now. We've got listeners of Hobart around the world. Nikki Webster wants a husband. How's that?
A boyfriend first.
Yeah. All right. Come on. We'll get people to send in emails. It can be like, you know, the Brink dating agency. You know, our first attraction is Nikki Webster. it will work well. Yeah. You could set up shop down here, Nikki, for the Olympics. You'd be here already. Now, look, we'll wrap it up with our set of questions we like to ask our guests. These are very easy. Don't get too nervous. They'll be fine, okay. Nikki. So if you're ready, we'll get straight into them. What is your favourite type of cheese?
Like tasty cheese.
Tasty cheese. One of the most favourite
strong
ones.
Strong vintage, yeah.
Yeah. It's good bitey cheese. Good for the stomach. Question two. Are you a folder or a scruncher?
I don't know what I am.
You don't
know? Is that weird to say that?
No, not really. We've had a few who don't know. They sort of say, like, oh, I'll tell you next time, but that's
weird. Yeah, it's kind of, it's just, I guess I don't think about it too much.
No, you know, you're not there and going, I'm a folder, bugger me, and then you just go off and...
Yeah. I will, though, next time, definitely.
Yes. Next interview with Tracy Grimshaw, you know, Tracy, I'm a folder! Anyway, question number three, are we alone in this universe?
Are we alone?
Mm.
No.
No, good, yes.
I hope not.
We've only ever had two people said, yes, we are alone. It's kind of scary. When they say that, it's sad to think that. And the final question we have for you, Nikki, is what event would you like to see at the 2020 Olympics? Now, this can be anything. Let your mind run free. It doesn't have to be a sport, even. It can be up to you.
I'd like to see the gymnastics because I missed out in the Sydney Olympics.
Yes. So, sort of, would you like to compete in the gymnastics?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think I could win a gold. Not.
We'll guarantee you gold. We'll rig the competition.
Yay! Everyone else would have to hurt themselves. Or something.
We'll pay the judges off. You know. We'll give them some like Tasmanian cheese, some bitey, tasty cheese. That would work very well. Well, Nikki Webster, thank you so much for your time here on The Brink. Absolute honour to finally have you here on the show. And good luck with the dance studio and everything else that comes your way. And we look forward to seeing you in 2020 here in Hobart.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yes, so Carl from Smithton, 21. He wants to know if we're packed for Vancouver and wonders where we'll be staying and with whom and with what.
That's very coincidental that question happens to come up after we were just talking about
yes,
that.
Yes, well, question answered, Carl. We are staying with the IOC president, Jacques Rogge, and also...
Where's
he
from, Anthony?
Belgium.
Correct. Moving on.
And also we are staying a few nights with the Prime Minister and then also perhaps even the Governor General of Canada as well.
Michelle Martin or something.
Yes, that's it.
Something. She's a very nice lady.
She's a lovely lady.
Very nice. The Canadians are very hospitable people.
Yes, that's right.
The Chinese were great in Beijing, but
yes, they were good,
unfortunately, Hu Jintao wouldn't meet with us. Something about censorship in China. I'm not too sure why. But no, the Canadians opening their doors.
That's right, yeah. We're going to be doing the TV circuit as well, I hear.
Yes, I believe we're appearing on Good Morning Toronto, which is always a plus. And Wake Up Vancouver, which is also... it's convenient that they have these shows to tell their citizens what to do. Maybe that's why so many Hobartians get up late.
And Mornings with Sally Ann.
Well, that's in Calgary. So, you know, Sally Ann's a good friend of ours.
What are the shows again that we're going to be going on?
What did I say? Good Wake Morning Up Toronto and Wake Up Vancouver. And there's also Go to Sleep Montreal, which is that's a good one to go to bed. The kiddies watch that one as well.
Did you say Go to Sleep Montreal? Shouldn't that be Dormir Montreal?
Yeah.
If it's in French?
The two official languages in Canada. You take care of the French side. Matt, are you prepared for putting up with this for a couple of weeks in another country?
Absolutely. But I'm just a little bit worried. I haven't received my tickets yet, so
they're in the mail.
Right.
You are coming. Don't worry. Don't worry.
Just a little bit worried. But no, I haven't started packing as Anthony has, but I'll get to it.
The night before. Given that you're running for office, though, are you going to try and suck up to the Prime Minister?
No, probably not. Probably not. Look, being a good candidate, I'll be on the phone to constituents every night coming back here. So.
I think you'll be the only one out of the three of us who would possibly genuinely get... accommodation with the Prime Minister or any Canadian politician, to be honest.
Well, actually, to be honest, we're the one thing that we've been talking a lot about in the offices here at the Brink is we've been trying, Anthony, grow up. Anthony's trying to find out the personal names of the Canadian crew that we're talking including Heather Hiscox, which apparently is very funny. Exactly. Before we go back to the music, I was going to say that I know around the office we've been taking a bit of a poll because we'll be at the opening ceremony. And given that they generally get local musicians to perform in the opening ceremony of whatever country is hosting the Olympics, hence why they got Jackie Chan to perform at the Beijing Olympics.
What, was he singing?
Yes, he was, because he's a very well-known singer, actually, in China, in all seriousness. What are the bets that we're going to have the likes of Celine Dion, Alanis Morissette, Avril Lavigne... Neil Young. I mean,
Is he Canadian?
Ryan Adams is Canadian.
Yes, and the Canadian government has apologised for him on many occasions. So will they actually risk putting him out there in front of, you know, a couple of billion around the world in a snowsuit? Mind you, in Torino, they put Ricky Martin in the closing ceremony. The most Italian thing about him, I think, is a pizza he had for dinner last week.
Why was he performing?
He closed off the closing ceremony in Torino. So.
But he's not even Italian, Ricky.
Exactly.
Martin.
So,
He's Latino.
He is. Mind you, they had Charlotte Church singing at the Salt Lake Winter Olympics, and she's Welsh. So maybe they'll put John Farnham in the middle out there and go, Johnny, you're the voice. Come on, Canadian Olympics. Well, of course he's retired. He's coming back again and again. They'll probably just get us singing out there in the middle, you know, honorary Canadians.
We can sing the Canadian National Anthem. You know that, actually.
I do, yes.
Give us the first verse.
Oh, Canada. No, Australia Day next week. Oh, Leo Canada. Bonjour, mais oui, je suis. There we go. Let's go back to the music. Well, I've got some better news for you. Joining us for the first time, I think, in about 3 months. No, probably even less than that, actually. It's probably the thing about October. Welcome back to the Brink, the Liberal member for Pembroke, Vanessa Goulburn.
Thank you very much. Lovely to be here.
Fantastic to have you back on so soon in our political special as we keep moving onwards and upwards, getting the pollies in. But we were talking about it last year, given that it's coming up to the election, that you're not actually, you don't have to worry about anything this time of year, do you? You're elected, you're safe.
Yeah, I do need to get out there and support the state Liberal team, of course, and I've been doing a bit of door knocking and getting out and about.
And helping this man on my left, hopefully. He's trying. He's not in your electorate area.
No, but he's doing a great job, and I have very high hopes for Matt.
Keep going.
You're giving him a nice head. He's blushing. He likes that. So what, you're saying you're door knocking and all that sort of stuff. What other stuff can you do to help? Is it just a matter of saying, I'm Vanessa Goulburn, I support, you know, David Compton or whoever it is that you're out and about with?
Yeah, getting out and spreading the word. And of course, lots of people ring the office or send emails or write letters wanting information about our policies or, you know, wanting help with a particular issue. So it's just continuing to do the work as a member for Pembroke, but also just trying to be out and about as much as possible. So if people have questions, about what the Liberals have to offer, I can provide them with that information.
Making sure you're out and about and seen in the community. Now, last time you were here, we had Josh. We've got Anthony here now. I'm sure he greeted you nice and politely and didn't turn around to you and say you're a lot shorter in person than I thought you were. Which he did so with Mr. Barlow.
That's the very first thing I said to him.
First thing he gets out of the car, you're a lot shorter than I thought you were.
That's before I introduce myself or anything.
But no, Anthony, I think he's you're a lot more political savvy than Josh were.
I am, but I'm slightly leaning towards Labour.
Oh,
well,
no.
Slightly, slight understatement.
That sitting between two Liberal people.
You're not going to say that on air, are you?
Oh, really? No. Well, no, I'm very, very.
We're unbiased here at the Brink.
I can't think of the word. I've completely lost it.
That's all right. That's fine. That's fine. Matt can jump in and ask. I love putting them, you put them on the spot because you can tell when they're not listening, when they're just sitting there having a chinwag between themselves, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you've obviously now become a member for the upper house. A lot of people view politicians as turning up and getting inside the house and arguing a lot. But what have been some of the more rewarding stuff that you've been able to achieve or do now that you're actually a member?
Well, I think I actually enjoy being in Parliament more than I thought I would. I quite like participating in the debate on legislation and some of the motions that get moved by members. And it's a really collegial atmosphere in the upper house. It's much nicer, really, than in the lower house. And I think a lot of the work that we do is very constructive in terms of the amendments that we move. So I think the upper house has got a lot going for it in terms of accountability and really rigorous scrutiny of the government's business. So I'm really enjoying that side of it. But I think the nice part of the job is getting out and about in the community and meeting people. And just before Christmas, of course, there are a lot of school assemblies that I got to go along to in my electorate, and that's a really enjoyable part as well, because the kids in the schools put a lot of effort into their assembly, so often there's a lot of musical items, and it's great fun to see that and to see them getting so much enjoyment out of it.
We're almost going to get you to sing this morning, actually, Vanessa. We have a singing segment on the show, but unfortunately, technical issues are preventing us from doing that this morning.
Oh,
so
really?
Very disappointed that we can't do it. Really, Anthony, yeah, really.
I know. Big sigh of relief. Yeah. Actually, I used to play the recorder at school, as everyone did. And the other day, Mum and I were cleaning out a big container and getting some books for my Rotary Club, who are having a book sale on Australia Day, Bellerive Boardwalk.
There
big
we go,
plug.
People. Massive plug, that's fine.
And I found my recorder. It's very exciting.
You could have brought it in along this morning and you could have had a bit of a blow. Oh, damn.
That's fine. We don't need actual music for you to sing, though. We don't mind a cappella. So
yes,
maybe...
It's all right. One, two, three, go. No, it's all right. No, we try and get our pollies to sing. Matt, if you call him a politician yet, he sang last week. And
what did he sing?
What did you sing last week? It was a bit of Barbie Girl, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was an official game, though, a segment they were playing where you had to make up the words to a song, but it was Barbie Girl.
Official
Josh
game,
and
one
I
of
did
our best
segments. Josh. Anthony and I did a duet, and it was probably the most horrid thing you've ever heard in your life.
I should find
the filth
it.
That was coming out of Matt's mouth, though. I'll tell you what, dribble.
Tell you what, though, it was exciting, and we would have been doing it this week had...
Kidding.
...we had it, but we'll have it next week. And, yeah, well, before we go back to the music, though, Vanessa, I think last time you were on, we had High Five on the show the same day. Not sure if you were listening on the way in, but we've had Nikki Webster on this morning.
Oh, my
goodness.
So, happening.
The two shows that you've been on, you've followed High Five and Nikki Webster.
Wow.
Put that on your resume.
Okay. Yeah, and Nikki Webster, of course, is very much all grown up now. So, what's she up to these days?
She's released a single last year, and she's in the process of releasing or recording another album. So, had a bit of a chat to her about that, and caught up with Nikki. It's been 10 years since she flew out into the opening ceremony of the Sydney Olympics, and she's booked in for 10 more years in Hobart 2020. So, you know, she'll be a sprite young age of 33. So, she'll be good. It's right to go. Kylie's 40, Madonna's 50. They're still potting around.
Oh wow! So she's basically Kylie's age when she was doing the Olympics.
Pretty much, pretty much. And look what happened to her after she went to the Olympics. It blossomed up. Nikki sort of went up and a bit down, but you know.
Well, and then it'd be another 12-year-old to float down.
Nikki's children. She can have. Well, she was talking about trying to find a boyfriend. So the listeners of Hobart right now are all excited that Nikki's single, and they're going to try and, you know, we're going to hook them up with Nikki Webster. So, Matt, you died to say something there.
No, I'm just thinking.
You're wishing you weren't married.
One Hobart listener that was looking to do that, but if that listener can ring in and tell us all about it, it'd be fantastic.
Oh, I just think Matt's wishing he wasn't married right now. Look, we I should also mention next week on the show, we do have joining us in the studio Ross Butler and David O'Byrne, both from Labor. Sorry, you guys. We have to go to the other side next week. And also we're playing an interview that I'll be doing after the show today with Australian actor extraordinaire Grant Bowler. So tune in next week. It will be an exciting show as always. Matt, have you got something to say again?
Nothing. I was Grant who?
Grant who? Yeah, you said that to me before. I'm like, Grant. It's funny, sometimes we get people and we say, like, oh, this is who we're interviewing. And they go, oh, who's that? And you explain that, like, one moment. Like, when we had Jane Saville. Who's Jane Saville? You know, oh, you know the woman who was disqualified 200 metres from getting gold?
Yes. Rightly so.
Yes, and asked for a gun to shoot herself. But
seriously?
Yes, she did, directly after the race. But that's another story. We're talking to Vanessa Goodwin, because of Jane Saville, you know. We haven't gotten Vanessa to come in here just so we can talk about, oh, remember that time on the brink? No, it's not. I'm not sure if you saw during the week, Vanessa, our thing in the paper about the Olympics, how we've got the video shoot later today for a second bid video, which you're most welcome to come if you're not busy between 11:30 and 1:30. But we've gotten a phone call. We were talking before from Jean, an 84-year-old lovely lady who spoke to me yesterday about wanting to help support this. Now, being that you're a politician, that you must obviously get a lot of, I don't know if you get phone calls in your office or you get, you know, you're walking the street and door knocking. How often does it make you feel special though? You get, like, say, especially like the elderly or the young people who say to you, you know, look, you know, I'm Betty from Clarence and you're great. I mean, that must make you feel pretty special too.
Oh, it's good when you get good feedback like that, when people are trying to encourage you and say, you know, I think you're doing a reasonable job. But, of course, there's always people who think you're doing a crap job. So, you know, it balances out.
Do you get many people ringing up and be like, you know, you stupid politician, you know?
Look, occasionally on the doorstep you get people who hate politicians, and sometimes it's people who just like to play with you a little bit. So they'll start off, you know, and they're often older gentlemen, and they'll start off by saying, you know, I hate all politicians and, you know, blah, 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 and be really gruff, and then you'll sort of start to engage with them, and then, you know, after about 10 minutes, they're really quite pleasant, but that's the way they greet politicians. So I think it is like a game to them. But then there are plenty of people who just do genuinely dislike politics and disenchanted and really just don't want to engage.
How do you think you can, I mean, their mind's made up, they're not going to like politicians, but I mean, when it all comes down to it, they have to vote. So.
Well, that's right. And sometimes there are, even if they don't like politicians, there are particular issues that affect them. So if you can engage with them on that level, then that's worthwhile.
But it's hard, though, I suppose, because a lot of people have this view of politicians that, you know, they're all talk when it comes to election and then nothing gets done. But, I mean, it's obviously a lot more difficult than that. I mean, you can't just straight away implement, bang, you know, we're going to make the roads better, bang, we're going to do this, especially if you're in opposition too. I suppose some people wouldn't realise that as well.
Well, that's true. And, of course, there are always financial constraints as well. And, you know, if you're spending money on justice, you're not spending it on health and education and vice versa. So it's all about balance, I guess. But people do get frustrated. A lot of times people raise local government issues. I mean, the things that are affecting them at the moment, like the lack of a footpath outside their house or problems with local roads. So it's a real mix of issues that people are concerned about, and not everything your local politician can fix.
There you go. You've heard that straight there from an elected politician, people. You know, just think of the politicians maybe once in a while.
Humans are politicians. Politicians are human.
Yes, exactly.
We are. But we also have good networks. So if it's something that we can't fix ourselves, then if we've got good networks, then perhaps we can talk to our local council representatives and get them to help. So there's always that avenue, but it may not be something that the politician can directly address right then and there.
Matt, I believe you've got a bit of information or something. What you've got that look in your eye.
Oh, no, not at all. After last week's successful train questions I asked to Ben Johnston on his railway, I thought I'd spend the week studying up on Pembroke.
How did that go, Matt?
Yeah, it went really well.
Pity I hadn't spent the week studying up on Pembroke as well, I think.
I have a research assistant.
What's their name, Matt?
Mr. Google.
That's good. Mr. Google is a good friend of mine,
so
too.
Mr. Google has been working vigorously over the last week, and more specifically over the last 4.5 minutes, finding facts about Pembroke. So I'm just going to test your knowledge, Vanessa, on Pembroke, and see whether how studied up you are. Pembroke has been a part of Van Diemen's Land or Tasmania since...
We need to hear some music.
1836.
Oh, come on. She was just about to answer that. She knew that. She knew that.
Okay. Where did Pembroke's name originate from?
Well, that's a very good question. and I'd love to know the answer.
At least she didn't give a politician's answer to that one if she was honest. Well, that's good.
Absolutely. It came from the Welsh county of Pembrokeshire, recently recreated by the British government after being absorbed into the larger county of Dyfed in 1972. I understand why it came out of the county of Dyfed.
Because that's...
After the name of it. And just one more question.
Yes, because I've done so well on the other two.
Come on, Matt.
Who was the first representative of Pembroke?
Vanessa Goodwin. No? Oh, sorry. Okay.
Well, it would have been some time ago. So, yes. It would have been a man.
It definitely was a man.
A man of the land.
It was a man.
A man of the land.
Yeah, the man of the land. No, it was James White.
Oh, he's a nice-looking fellow, isn't he? Look at that beard.
And he also serves as Tasmanian Premier at some stage in there.
Wow.
Fantastic.
There you go.
And there are your three questions.
Yes. And he was born in Scotland.
Very disappointing.
Wow. Cultural, and then they've written underneath it, cultural heritage, Scottish. Well, that's a bit unusual, isn't it?
Isn't it amazing the things that you can find on Google? Wow.
It is. There you go. I'm sure you're going to go back to your office and they're going to give you this look.
Yeah, Vanessa. And I'm going to have to brush up on that history.
Matt, I think every week, given your profound research skills, that, different pollies we have every week, depending where they're from, what do you know about Denison? And you should know yourself.
Absolutely.
Yes, you got. I'm going to find these and find you. Look, we're going to go back.
So, who was the first member of Denison?
Matt Stevenson. Now, I suppose if I had that up ready to read, again, Vanessa, professionalism that you can see here at the Brick, we're doing very well with it. This week's Friday Fiver, five reasons why Nikki Webster is awesome. This is a brilliant Friday Five, and I hope Nikki's listening to this right now because this is all facts that we've gotten together. Number one, she has grown up in front of our eyes. Literally, she's like 2 centimetres away from them. It's kind of scary, actually. Yes, Matt gives us that look. Number two, she sang with Michael Jackson. That was interesting to actually find out that.
Did she?
She did. She was one of the children on the history tour in Sydney that come out and sing Heal the World, and he picked her out and sang a duet with her.
Wow.
So she was only, a wee knee-high to a grasshopper, but, she sang with Michael Jackson. There you go. Bet you didn't know that. Oh. Number three, she is single and on the prowl. So, she could be, was that new show Cougar Town? Maybe she could be in, Lion Cub Town. She's not a cougar, so... I don't know. That sounded funny in my head. Number four, she captured our hearts 10 years ago and has never given them back. Yeah, she has a lot of hearts. And hence why we're not alive. What? Again. And number five, the fifth reason why Nikki Webster is awesome, because she's Nikki Webster.
Wow. That was amazing.
It was, wasn't it? The writing crew here at the Brink are brilliant. They could write an episode of Grey's Anatomy, maybe. It's that skillful. You're not a fan of Grey's Anatomy, are you, Vanessa?
No,
I'm not. Good. That's good. We hate that show. It's cause of lots of deaths in husbands. Being forced to watch it by their wives.
Is it that bad?
Oh, look, Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, that is horrid. I love you, Kate, but that show just is terrible.
I'm glad that Louise doesn't watch that. And Sam, she's not a Sex and the City fan either, which is even better.
Are you a Sex and the City fan?
Oh, there had to be one show, No, I think we're men, so we don't really like it. Is that safe to say without being blasted?
I like Sex and the City.
Well, that's different for you,
that's
Anthony.
Funny. Take your point.
Yes. Matt, are you a fan of Sex and the City?
No, not at all.
No. Okay, then. This is going great guns, isn't it? Vanessa's come in this morning, she's gone, I'm on the radio this morning, could talk about some topics and political matters.
Yeah, some serious issues.
Is there anything in particular that you'd like to bring it up at all?
No, I'm quite happy talking about the TV shows.
What's your favourite Sex and the City episode, Vanessa?
I didn't mind the movie, but to be honest, I'm a bit of a sop. So, when she was going to get married and he didn't turn up for the wedding.
No.
And, it was just devastating.
Oh, it was, wasn't it? Oh, I've never seen it, but, jeez, I don't know.
It was so dramatic.
But it all turned out okay in the end, I think.
Have you seen it? Have you, Matt?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Something you just don't want to admit to on air?
No. No, I don't watch it whatsoever. It's my time on the computer when Kate's on Sex and the City on, so...
Well, that's the thing.
Are they doing reruns?
I think late at night.
On TD2, one of the stations,
Late at night.
12:30 at night.
Yes, which is probably a good time because most people are in bed. Sorry, Vanessa, I'm realising that we actually have a fan in you. I can't bag it out too much. The tennis is good, though. I like that.
Yes.
Can we're trying to... I'm going to be completely blatantly honest here.
Okay.
Trying to come up with jokes with your surname, but we can only come up with one.
No, well, hang on. Matt, you were saying that I believe when you...
had a good win.
Yes, was that an actual headline or something in the Mercury you were saying, Matt? I didn't really pay attention.
It was in the Mercury as a headline after...
Yeah, it could be.
Is that a common thing, though? I mean, you know, Vanessa has a good win. I mean, is that just... I mean, I get it all the time with Waterworth. Oh, how much is Waterworth? And Moran Anthony, I suppose you get, oh, you know, how's Jason? You know, is he... coming to get Carl Williams? I mean, is it just something that you just get used to?
Yeah, it doesn't really come up a lot.
Oh. Whoa.
Not since grade two.
Whoops. We've opened some psychological issues there, I think. No, no. Well, when you win again next time, you know.
There'll be another good win.
Yes, it will be. Yeah. Then you can change it to Vanessa, great win.
The audience see what they think of that.
The audience are asleep at the moment. I suppose with Matt Stevenson, what do you get with that?
I get nothing.
Are you Steven's son? I'm Steven's son, actually. So that would work out well. I love this. This is great. I bet you, Vanessa, you go on to ABC Radio now and you're there with Tim Cox and you're going, oh, this is going to be fun. And he's there going, what are your issues on this? And you're like, oh, boring political questions. This is what we try and do with politicians. We corrupt their minds.
Oh. We just have a nice, light, easy, you know, break from reality, break from the real life.
I see you when I'm watching the news, Vanessa, and they're like, you know, this is one thing I can't wait when we get the leaders on, because you have some announcement, you know, Bart will come out and give, you know, $50 billion to a kid in the street or something. And then they always manage to find Mr. Hodgman and Mr. McKim standing outside those same trees outside Parliament House going... The Liberals do not agree with this. If he had done this 6 months ago, we would have fixed this. And then, you know, Nick McKim, oh, well, while the Greens slightly agree with this, you know, the trees won't grow quicker if he does this way. And it's just, can they just come out for once and say, look, I'm glad that this will happen. You know, I'm sure it's going to happen if, you know, Liberal get elected, you know, Bartlett or Giddings, whoever, if he stays on, they'll come out and do exactly the same thing.
Well, look, Ben, I'll take those comments on board.
Next time I see you on the...
Yes, and I'll endeavour to, yes.
I would love to see something a friendly along those parliament. Lines. Friend, I long for the day.
Well, come to the upper house. We're very friendly up there.
Okay, we'll take that invitation. We'll be there.
Come and watch one day.
With flags. Woo, go! Order. Order. No, all right. Okay. I think it's music time.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have to try and kind of change maybe some of these, because some of these won't matter to you because you're not running for election. So you haven't heard these yet either, have you, Anthony?
No, not yet.
So similar to our five questions that we asked, but these are our super six in the lead up to the election. Question number one, who would win in a fight, David Bartlett, Will Hodgman or Nick McKim, and why? And you're not allowed to be biased here either. Think literally. Who would have the upper hand?
Is this, what sort of a fight is this?
Fisticuffs, you know, charming old gentleman's game of going in the boxing ring with padded gloves and, of course, wearing helmets for safety reasons.
I reckon they'd probably be fairly evenly matched, but I'd put my money on Will, I reckon.
Yes, yeah, so we had to expect that. We had to expect that. See, look, Matt, again, short answer. She's answered it. She hasn't detailed blow by blow.
I explained why Will would win. You wanted to know why I wasn't being biased, and I proved it by giving you a detailed description.
Well,
of
he's very fit. I mean, I think we saw that in the Bernie 10 when he outperformed David Bartlett by quite a long mile. You know, he ran and he ran it well. So Will is pretty fit, and he's pretty determined. And I just think he'd come out on top.
He's a lot taller too, so you know, yeah, he could just step on Bartlett. Maybe I don't know. What was it? What did David Condon say? Was it you? It was about Nick McKim's ponytail. Shame he doesn't have it anymore. It could have been a... You know.
No, I think it was David.
Yeah, of course, you don't want to take claim for that one, Matt. All right, if there was... Well, this one, we can't even really ask you. If there was one thing you could do that would guarantee you office, what would it be? Possibly stay in the fact that you got elected last year, so we've skipped that one. Who would make a better politician, Anthony or myself?
Anthony has admitted to having an interest in politics, so that's probably a good start.
It would be, I reckon. He's got the knack. He actually knows what he's doing.
Well,
No offense to any two people in the room, but when do you actually need to know what you're doing to be a politician? Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. All right, okay. Can we get you to say one nice thing about Labor and the Greens?
Well, they have a different point of view.
Is that a nice thing? Yeah, we'll take that. All right, now... again, we can't really ask this one because we'll ask it to you anyway. You can just pretend you're running for election. If you are elected, funny that, and Liberal have the balance of power, can we get the Olympic bid as a number one priority when your term commences?
Our number one priority.
Your number one priority.
Look, I reckon it'd be up there on our list of priorities. I think the idea of the Olympics, which as I understand it now, is to get more sporting events to Tasmania, I think has a lot of merit, and I certainly really enjoyed the fact that we had both the cricket and the tennis here last week. It was fantastic. We were really spoilt for choice, and there needs to be more of it. So in that sense, certainly the Hobart 2020 bid has a lot going for it.
And if the side effects of us bidding for these games are we get more sporting events, then, you know, that would be fantastic.
It would be.
And final question, even though, again, it's not really going to matter. During your victory/concession speech, not that you're going to give either of them, or in any other interviews, any other interviews in the lead up to the election, so when you're, you know, on the Win News disagreeing with Bartlett, can we get you to drop a reference to the Brink and the Olympic bid? So you can just simply drop in a little, you know, oh, Bartlett was on the brink of making a good decision, but instead he's made a bad one.
Okay, I'll work on that one.
So you could be there going, you know, while David Bartlett has given $70 million to the hospital, he could have spent that on the Olympic bid, which would have been much better suited to Hobart. So that would work well as well, I think. Anthony, you love those questions, didn't you?
I do.
You did. The microphone's there, by the way.
Hello.
I do. It's radio, not TV.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yes, you know, you're not Heather Hiscox on Canadian National
on
Television.
On CBC.
Yes, exactly, our new
good
friend.
Good morning, Canada.
Wake up Toronto and go to sleep Montreal? Yeah, something like that. Anyway, that's our Super Six. How were they, Vanessa?
Oh, they were fantastic.
Good politics are there. That was good. The writers, again, very, very well done. Very well adapted to writing good political questions here on Edge Radio.
Look, you have a fabulous research and writing team. I can see that. They're just working so hard.
They work their butts off. They have to, literally. Yeah. Otherwise, they don't get dinner. So
you're very lucky.
Well, they're in the next room typing away for next week.
They're typing away for January next year.
Yeah.
they're a year ahead. They have to be, you know. Otherwise, you know, no dinner. They're not coming to Vancouver with us. You know, they can fly the plane, flap their wings, arms outside the plane, and they can fly.
Is there much playful banter between the members of the upper house?
Oh no, we're all very serious.
Oh really?
Of course they are.
No, but look, there's a bit of banter that goes on, and I think
like when Paul Keating style.
When you're in Parliament for many hours, as we were towards the end of the year, with all that legislation that was going through, you need to have some light relief, some light moments, and
listen to the Brink podcast.
Yeah, we certainly had a few of those. So yes, yeah, you must come and have a look. It's good fun up there.
We will, yeah. So when do your 3 days that you sit all year start?
Oh, so rude.
I'm sorry, but just you always see them. Oh, they're on break at the moment.
Probably fairly accurate this year though, because we won't be going back now until after the election.
So. Oh, you poor things.
Yes, we are.
Oh, it's terrible, isn't it? That's what Matt's looking forward to, life of a politician.
Yeah, I'm sure it's just all beer and Skittles up there, mate.
I'm looking. I'll tell you what. When it goes back, Anthony and I are going to go. Have not been. We did watch it when I was back in primary school, and it was great fun. It was awesome fun. I loved it. You know, it was just seeing them shouting, "Mr. Speaker, Mr. Speaker, order, order, order." You know.
I'm gonna pick whereabouts I want to sit exactly. I'll sit there.
I'll be Mr. Speaker. what actually? Before we're gonna wrap things up in just a second. Don't worry, people. If you're sick of us, we're going. But what qualifications? Since I've got three very intelligent people sitting opposite me, do you need to be Mr. Speaker to be the Speaker? I mean, do you have to be a poly to be that role? No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was the question?
Any of you? You're all smart.
Watch Question Time when it resumes on ABC. You'll notice that when the Speaker of the House does speak, It will currently, I think, is Labor.
You're talking about the state, Michael Polly.
Okay, yeah, yeah, and the federal.
So they're an elected member.
Yeah, but they're not part of the, like, they don't, he just adjudicates, basically.
Okay.
And keeps everybody in check. Like, if people get too rowdy, he goes, he gives them warnings and whatnot. And every now and again,
send them to the timeout corner.
Basically, yeah. If people do, if they do get too rowdy, he does send them out.
Yeah, a few of them have been sent out.
Yeah, what about?
Have you ever been sent out, Vanessa?
No, look, I haven't been there long enough. And of course, we have a great president upstairs, Sue Smith. She's really good. And yes, I haven't been sent out. I don't know that anyone has been sent out of the Ledge Code.
You guys are karma.
Yeah, we are.
You know, there's none of this Mrs. Burger order pigs. You know, it's all like, oh, I say.
Sometimes it gets fired up, but yeah, not to the point of anyone being evicted.
Awesome. Time to go.
Yes,
Mr.
It's time
Hodgman. No, you have, the tribe has spoken. Okay, look, we're going to go. Thank you for coming back on, Vanessa. It's been, you're only on in November, I've been told, so 2 months has passed. But given that you're not running much, good luck with supporting people.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Great to be on here.
And you're welcome back anytime. And Matt and Anthony, as always.
See you next week.
You've been on the show. So that's been good that you've been on the show. If you want to hear this again, and I don't know why you would, you can download the podcast, of course, on via our website. And please show up to the bid in about an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever it is. And next week on the show, Ross Butler, David O'Byrne and Grant Bowler. I'll be back on Monday from 2 o'clock with the F1 show. In the meantime, Hobart, do keep sucking those oranges. And good night.
Don't forget to tune into The Brink Friday morning from 7 o'clock on Edge Radio 99.3 FM.
Superstar Nikki Webster, and this is the first part of that interview I had during the week.
We are very excited to have our next guest here on The Brink. She rose international stardom as a star of the Sydney 2000 opening and closing ceremonies and has since gone on to be one of the most recognisable faces and voices in Australia. In 2001, she released one of the highest selling singles of the year with Strawberry Kisses and has since gone on to release 3 hugely successful albums, and in between has gone on to star in everything from The Wizard of Oz to Dancing with the Stars. So please welcome to The Brink for the first time, Nikki Webster. Nikki, it is fantastic to finally have you here on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
It's all right. I really do want to say, though, in the 5 years that I've been doing this show, I don't think I have been more excited to finally land a guest. We've been trying to chase you up since the start.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, don't I feel important?
You should. And the listener...
I'm glad you finally got me.
Well, the listener reaction has just been superb, too. So I know everybody listening to this right now is excited to have you finally on the show, Nikki. Now, of course, many people first got to know you as the face of the Sydney Olympic opening and closing ceremonies, as I just mentioned in the intro. But you have been around a lot longer than that, appearing in everything from Home and Away. Do you remember anything from your role on Home and Away?
I do, actually. It was just a guest spot night. I believe my brother was in it also, and we were basically just in a house and, you know, we were playing brothers and sisters and someone came to the door. I don't actually remember what characters it was, but I remember the filming day. It was quite fun, quite a lot of fun, and obviously being on screen with your brother, and playing a brother and sister, you get to, you know, have a fight and it's all good fun.
No acting, it's just, you know, just
improvising. No acting.
not at all. Now, something that many of our listeners may not actually be aware is that you have performed with the King of Pop, Michael Jackson. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, that was when he was in Sydney for his history tour, and a whole group of us got to meet him, and then he asked us to sing on stage with him, and we sang Heal the World. And we were walking around in a big circle and he picked me out of the circle to sing out the front with him. So, you know, just incredible moment, you know, singing, standing next to Michael Jackson, singing to a packed audience. It was absolutely insane and you know, something I'm going to hold on to the rest of my life. And unfortunately, he's not around anymore, but... I've definitely got a very fond memory of it.
Were you a massive Michael fan, or was it just something you did?
Absolutely. Massive.
Yeah.
Massive Michael fan. Still am. He's a genius at what he does, and getting to meet him and spend just a little bit of time just getting to know him was incredible. And I guess my one regret is probably not keeping in contact with him after I did the Olympics, because I'm sure it was probably something he would have liked to have known about.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, that just, I mean, I teach all my kids at my dance studio Michael songs, and we love it. We have a dance, we have a sing, and it's just infectious music, which is brilliant.
Absolutely, and of course, obviously, tragic circumstances last year that happened. But unfortunately, I suppose his music will live on, and if you're teaching that to the students there, I mean, I suppose that works out very well. And with that, now that you do have this studio, your dance studio, is that something that's sort of bringing back the way you started when you were young? You're trying to get this now to other people coming along to this studio and being able to start what you did?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess, you know, I've always grown up in dance studios, but it's a more relaxed in terms of we're very nurturing. My brother and myself are business partners, and I guess I've been through a lot of ups and downs publicly with the media, and if I can nurture these young up-and-coming stars, performers, and I guess steer them away from what I've been through or help them through the tough times, then, you know, that's what I'm going to do. That's it, what I'm really passionate about. And now having an agency also attached to the dance studio, I'm able to see kids take the steps that I took. So it's very exciting and I love it, and it's such a rewarding thing to do.
The show at the Brink, that whenever the media do talk about you or they're interviewing you or anything along those lines, they always seem to refer to this public perception of you, and it always turns out in a negative way. How much does this annoy you, Nikki? I mean, is there anything you would love to say or do to these media type, and do you just want something nice and positive out there for you for once?
That's true. I don't think there's enough time for me to tell you what I'd like to do to them. No, look, I don't read the good, I don't read the bad. I'm kind of at that point where, you know, it's not worth kind of reading into what they're saying. I always find it weird that they make it a public perception that's a negative thing when I'm out on the streets every day being myself, and it's actually the media's perception. It's not the public. The public are quite behind me. So I guess I'm blessed in that sense. But, you know, it was tough going through puberty and going through, you know, the tall poppy syndrome, but I'm still going through it with the media. I don't think it's ever going to stop, so I've just got to get on with it.
And do you want to try and shake off? Obviously, the image is always you with this young girl from the opening ceremony at the Olympics. I've even mentioned it in my opening ceremony, so I'm being a hypocrite by saying this. But you've done so much more than just, you know, being up on a wire at the opening ceremony of the Olympic Games.
I guess, you know, that was such a proud moment for our country and as a whole. And, you know, I'm happy to be put in, you know, side by side with that is absolutely amazing. So it's something that is always going to be with me, and I'm happy for it to be mentioned all the time, absolutely.
I suppose, though, if you're happy for it to be mentioned, I mean, there are some people we've had on the show where they've got that one moment, and you sort of say to people, oh, yeah, we've got Jane Saville on the show. Who's that? Oh, she's the one who got disqualified just before she walked into the stadium. They know that moment. So with Nikki Webster, it's a bit different. Yeah, true. They know if you say who Nikki Webster is, they don't need to be known that you're the one from the opening ceremony. They know who you are, Nikki. It's okay. It's okay.
Oh, I hope so.
Now, when you've walked out into that stadium, you've got a couple of billion people around the world watching you at that moment. How are the nerves going? Are you absolutely crapping your dacks?
Well, not really. I think the main thing was the only time I got nervous was right at the beginning, where I had to walk out and I had to hit centre mark right in the middle of the stadium. And, you know, there was no markings on the floor. So basically it was done by feel and rehearsals of where I'd found centre. Because if I didn't hit the centre spot, I couldn't have flown because the cables couldn't come down. That was the only thing I was nervous about. Once I hit centre, I was like, this is easy, this is great. And I didn't even think about, you know, people watching. I think that was a great thing that David Atkins and Rick Birch did with me. They didn't really put the pressure on that so many people would be watching. They just said, you know, go out, make us proud, you know, there's everybody in the stadium. They forgot to tell me that it was being filmed for the world. But
Just that small little fact.
Yeah, they forgot, but probably in a good way.
Yeah, I reckon. I'm sure you wouldn't want to walk out there and they've gone, okay, Nikki, hit centre spot and just forget about the 3 billion people watching you.
Yeah, and if you don't hit centre spot, you're dead.
I suppose that was before YouTube, though, but, I mean, still, it would have been something that they would have put on there now, maybe.
Yeah, definitely.
Ceremonies now every 4 years, and you sort of think, like, what are they doing? Me flying up above the, you know, Stadium Australia was so much better than a little boy in Greece on a boat.
I do watch them, and I think, you know, the thing I find amazing is how much technology has come on since the 2000 Olympics. You know, we could only fly up, down, and across. Now they can fly in zigzags, they can fly any way they want. So there's obviously a lot more creative license and ways through technology that, you know, enhance the opening ceremony. But I think overall our storyline, our what we portrayed, the, you know, everything put together was just exceptional. And all the directors that were a part of the opening ceremony were absolutely incredible. And, I think we're the best, and I think we're always going to be the best.
I think you
but
started.
I'm not biased.
No, not at all. You can be biased. Well, you know, Sam Marant said we're the greatest Olympics ever, and no one's ever
He did, absolutely, and he told me that as well, too. So.
Yeah, well, there you go.
I'm going to take that and run.
You've got that from the man himself, so you can use that personally.
Absolutely.
And I think there's been a bit of a trend since Sydney 2000. Every opening ceremony, whether it be winter or summer, I swear they've been using, like, a young child telling a story.
Yeah.
And, you know, Nikki, you've started this.
Oh, I feel flattered. It was kind of David Atkins and Rick Burge, but hey, I'll take that.
Yeah,
they want to recreate it, I'd say go for it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, no one remembers them, you know? I mean, when you say Strawberry Kisses, people don't care who wrote it, Nikki. You sang it.
True.
Come on.
Thanks.
Now, of course, with Strawberry Kisses, Australia's gone Nikki Webster crazy after the Summer Olympics in 2000. What was this period like? I mean, how could you walk out of your house? What were the fan reaction like to that?
It was quite intense, and it was quite weird for me being 13, thinking, okay, I've done the opening ceremony. I'm just going to go back to school, and, you know, when we resumed at school, and I remember pulling up, and I had 60 Minutes following me at that point, and obviously it was some kind of exclusive thing, and there was 7, 9, 10, and every other news channel under the sun parked outside my school, and I had to duck down in the car, and I'm going, what is this? This is just crazy. It was fun. It was scary. It was hard at the same time, you know, eating in a food court like I normally would and people coming up with my mouth, you know, I'm shoving food into my mouth and all that kind of stuff. But I guess the great thing about it was everybody's spirit and how positive they were about being proud to be an Australian.
Yeah.
And that was the main thing that was really, really touching.
You should have rang up Michael Jackson and maybe got out some advice. You know, how do I deal with this, Michael? What do I do?
Should have closed down the shopping centre, so I could have gone shopping by myself.
Walked with like mask on with your hand waving, you know, and some kids with some face, you know, on their faces. Maybe not that far. Now, of course, in the years that followed, you did release a few more albums that I have mentioned, of course, in the introduction. But I suppose a lot of people then remember you from 2005 when Dancing with the Stars happened. Now, how was this experience for you with a lot of stuff that happened during that filming there?
It was great. Dancing with the Stars is such a whirlwind. It's you know, you're thrown into dancing with this person that you've never met before and you train, you know, 7-8 hours a day and... then you go and you dance and you're totally out of your comfort zone. Yes, I'd had dancing training, but nothing to do with Latin dancing or anything like that. And I'd always sung and danced. I'd never just danced. And it was completely freaky. It was scary. And I remember the first episode, all of us standing backstage going, why did we sign up to do this? What are we doing to ourselves, you know? Why are we putting ourselves out of our comfort zones? But it was great. I made some wonderful friends, and it was a wonderful time.
I think you've got some dogs in the background, some fans there.
That's my little dog, Sunshine. She wants the star. She wants the limelight, I think.
Oh, we can
just saying hello to everybody.
Hi, Sunshine. I'm sure Hobart is loving you right now. Now, you did, though, in Dancing with the Stars, you did knock off a couple of Olympic gold medalists in Stephen Bradbury and Shane Gould, though. So, I mean, you know, you've got this Olympic reputation and you've beaten some Olympic gold medalists, Nikki, so you can always put that in your resume,
I've never
too.
Thought about it that way.
Well, we had Stephen Bradbury on the show and we mentioned that to him. You know, you got beaten by Nikki Webster and he was like, oh, well, what are you to do? How the media perceive you, saying that, you know, you're always that young girl from the Olympics. But of course, in the last 5 years, you've attempted to bring out this more mature image with some photo shoots for the men's magazines, and of course, Devilicious being released last year. And is this hard for you, given that you're putting so much effort into this, and that Australia don't seem to want to accept a grown-up Nikki?
Well, I don't think I'm putting so much effort into it. I just think it's a natural progression, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they'd do the same thing if I was still dressed up in, you know, a pink plastic outfit, you know, like a Warren Strawberry. I think they'd be saying, she needs to grow up. So
yeah.
I guess I can't win. So
no.
I'm just going to do what feels comfortable with me and, you know, don't worry about the media. It's more about getting my music across and performing. That's what I do. And I have a right, just as everybody else has a right, to make a career out of things and to give it a go. And I guess I'm lucky enough to have some doors open, but I'm going to keep dashing down a few more.
I suppose the media never seem to make up their mind, do they? I mean, with Michael Jackson, he never seemed to grow up. They bagged him out. Britney Spears grew up too quickly, and they bagged her out too. You can't win, can you, Nikki?
You can't. You can't win. So that's why you've got to kind of take it with a pinch of salt and just make sure you're not getting pushed around personally and you're happy with what you're doing.
Exactly. Screw the media.
Yeah.
You don't need them, you know. Who needs us? This interview, who needs it? God, jeez. Now, I'm sure you're well aware, Nikki, we're trying to campaign to get the Olympics here in 2020 in Hobart, and we have massive plans for it, of course, but we do think that no Olympic Games in Australia would be complete without Nikki Webster being the star attraction of both opening and closing ceremonies. Can we book you in right now to be the star attraction?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would love to do that, and I feel honoured that you say that, so thank you.
We will have you walking out centre spot, raising you up, and you were talking about zigzagging and all this sort of stuff. You won't even have string. You'll be flying on your own by 2020.
Woohoo! Mind you, how old will I be in 2010?
Well, what's that? You're going to be, what, 10 years' time, so 32?
32.
Oh, you'll still be young, Nikki. Come on.
That's a little scary.
Yeah. Don't think about the age factor. You know, you've got...
True.
You've got long time to get ready for it. But I know you've got Olympic experience, Nikki. So, I mean, can you suggest anything else that we can make our games even better than Sydney?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think it's, you know, the more people you get involved, the better. I think that's the great thing about the Olympics is the community spirit and everybody... the volunteers and everything like that. And I don't know, I think it could be interesting. I mean, 2020 is so far away, but I don't know. I guess I'll leave it up to the creative directors. But I'm happy to be a part of it.
Well, you can be a creative director. As I said, you've got the experience. So, you know, bugger Rick Birch. We've got Nikki Webster on board. Come on.
Oh, I think you need someone like Rick or David.
we'll get you to pass on their phone numbers and, you know, we'll get some inside thoughts. But we can get your full support then for the Olympics, Nikki, in Hobart for 2020. Could you?
It sounds fantastic.
Yeah, what about next interview? You know, you're on A Current Affair next time. You're sort of mentioning it. You could just be like, you know, hey, Tracy Grimshaw, bugger me, Nikki Webster, what about the 2020 Olympics? You know, come on. Starring Nikki Webster.
There you go. Absolutely.
Yes. Look, I tell you one thing, we're excited to have that, definitely. Now, Nikki, we're nearly going to be at the end of this interview, but just before we get to a set of questions we like to ask all our guests, I just wanted to mention, though, you are 22, as we mentioned a few minutes ago. You've achieved more than most people do in their entire lives. What do you hope to achieve in the future? And speaking of 10 years' time in 2020, where would you like to see yourself?
I guess this... you know, just moving along and achieving some of the same goals I've done, you know, with music and taking it overseas. I'd love to take my music overseas and see how it goes. You know, my dance studio, my talent agency to keep on growing and hopefully create some incredible performers that take on Australia and the world as well. So, yeah, just doing what I love doing and always being happy, and hopefully I have a family by that point and... maybe some little Nickies running around.
Little Nickies. We could have the instead of the Jackson 5, we could have the Webster 5 going on.
Oh my gosh.
That would be exciting. You keep your brother involved and, you know, hubby and the kids.
Ah, dear, I've got to find a hubby first.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Look, put it right now. We've got listeners of Hobart around the world. Nikki Webster wants a husband. How's that?
A boyfriend first.
Yeah. All right. Come on. We'll get people to send in emails. It can be like, you know, the Brink dating agency. You know, our first attraction is Nikki Webster. it will work well. Yeah. You could set up shop down here, Nikki, for the Olympics. You'd be here already. Now, look, we'll wrap it up with our set of questions we like to ask our guests. These are very easy. Don't get too nervous. They'll be fine, okay. Nikki. So if you're ready, we'll get straight into them. What is your favourite type of cheese?
Like tasty cheese.
Tasty cheese. One of the most favourite
ones.
Like
strong vintage, yeah.
Yeah. It's good bitey cheese. Good for the stomach. Question two. Are you a folder or a scruncher?
I don't know what I am.
You don't
know? Is that weird to say that?
No, not really. We've had a few who don't know. They sort of say, like, oh, I'll tell you next time, but that's
a bit weird. It's just, I guess I don't think about it too much.
No, you know, you're not there and going, I'm a folder, bugger me, and then you just go off and...
I will, though, next time, definitely.
Yes. Next interview with Tracy Grimshaw, you know, Tracy, I'm a folder! Anyway. Question number three, are we alone in this universe?
Are we alone?
Mm.
No.
No, good, yes.
I hope not.
We've only ever had two people said, yes, we are alone. It's kind of scary when they say that. It's sad to think that. And the final question we have for you, Nikki, is what event would you like to see at the 2020 Olympics? Now, this can be anything, let your mind run free. It doesn't have to be a sport, even. It can be up to you.
Oh,
I'd like to see the gymnastics because I missed out on the Sydney Olympics.
Would you like to compete in the gymnastics?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think I could win a gold. Not.
We'll guarantee you gold. We'll rig the competition.
Yay! Everyone else would have to hurt themselves.
Something. we'll pay the judges off. You know, we'll give them some like Tasmanian cheese, some bitey tasty cheese. That would work very well. Well, Nikki Webster, thank you so much for your time here on The Brink. Absolute honour to finally have you here on the show. And good luck with the dance studio and everything else that comes your way. And we look forward to seeing you in 2020 here in Hobart.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yes, so Carl from Smithton, 21, he wants to know if we're packed for Vancouver and wonders where we'll be staying and with whom and with what.
That's very coincidental. That question happens to come up after we were just talking about
Yes, well, question answered, Carl. we are staying with the IOC president, Jacques Rogge, and also...
Where's he from, Anthony?
Belgium.
Correct. Moving on.
And also are staying a few nights with the Prime Minister and then also perhaps even the Governor General of Canada as well.
Michelle Martin or something.
Yes, that's it.
Something. She's a very nice
lady. She's a lovely lady.
Very nice. The Canadians are very hospitable people.
Yes, that's right.
The Chinese were great in Beijing, but unfortunately, Hu Jintao wouldn't meet with us. Talking about censorship in China, I'm not too sure why. But the Canadians opening their doors.
That's right.